839 1360 975 WTAQ News Talk Sports. Full disclosure, yeah, I bailed on what turned out to be the last 10 minutes of Trump's speech. Went very long. It's very interesting. We're going to talk about that. I wasn't here yesterday. So, yes, and people are still talking about what Ted Cruz did at the convention. Best analogy I heard: you don't come to someone's cocktail party, you don't eat their food, drink their alcohol, and then bleep all over their carpets, which is the way some people saw what Ted Cruz did. So we'll get into all of that. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit about what Donald Trump talked about coming up here, because we had a request from one of the candidates for the 8th Congressional District come in and chat. So we are joined once again by State Senator Frank Lissay. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to all you listeners out there.
I want to start with the issues, Frank. And a lot of people are drawing parallels in Donald Trump's speech to Richard Nixon, circa 68. Law and order, law and order. You could say that what he talked about the war on terror. He talked about the economy, no doubt, jobs, trade. But certainly the theme seemed to be law and order. As a congressional candidate, from what we've seen with the police protests, police shootings, and so on, do you think that is at or near the top of the agenda right now?
Well, it should be. It's, I think, more than a federal issue, more of a local issue. But we've had shootings of police and, you know, just random shootings of police because of something that happened. And it's very sad. It's a tragedy. And, you know, our police officers have enough put upon their backs and to protect all of us, to also have to worry about a random killer just killing them because they happen to be police officers. And that's very, very wrong, very disturbing. And we should be talking about this. And I think we do need leadership. And the president has the biggest bully pulpit out there, gets to talk about these things more than a congressman does. And, talking about the fact that I think that, and some of this, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and you see it, and sometimes there are bad actors. I mean, in a country of 325 million people and, all the people we have out there, we have got some bad cops. But most cops are working and doing their job. And, you know, I was taught as a kid growing up that if a police officer tells you not to move, and I've had a couple of traffic stops and I didn't get my license out until the cops come, police officers coming up, I reach in my pocket and say, hey, put your hands up, we're going to see him. Oh, yes, officer, no problem. Sorry. I didn't think about it. I'm just getting my driver's license. Would you like to see it? Yes. Okay. So that sort of thing, where often I see these and there's an argument, there's a fight, there's confrontation, and a police officer very, very quickly could be shot or killed, or someone else could come to the aid of the person who's confronting them, and they're in a very dangerous situation, whereas much of the air could be taken out of the tires, where you teach our young people, hey, when a police officer talks to you and says, hey, you know, stop doing what you're doing, stop, don't fight with them, don't put them in a headlock, don't fight back, punch them, all those sort of things. And I don't see our president doing that now. I think a President Trump would do that. Talk about that.
Well, okay, so that's interesting that President Trump would talk about that. He made it pretty clear that he would address it from the Oval Office. And you said you think it's a local issue. So that was going to be my question to you. If you end up being a member of Congress, are there, in this larger issue, are there things you think that can be done on the federal level?
That's a great question. You know, the federal laws are the federal laws, and many times we aren't enforcing them. And that's one part of it. But, you know, how do you stop that random killer? How do you stop that sniper? How do you stop the person who goes off the rails and, you know, gets crazy and gets a gun or gets a bomb or fires somebody or takes a truck and runs people over? How do you stop that? And how do you create a law that's going to stop that? And that's a great question. If somebody has an idea on that, I'm happy to hear it. But, very, very difficult problems to deal with. But we have a societal problem with people who have mental illness. Much of this is mental illness, and a society where I see something I don't like, so I'm going to go act out against it. And really, that's no way to fix things. I mean, go back to Martin Luther King and, the peaceful protests, and you make more progress that way. And we're seeing kind of a heating up of this, and it's political season. And, you know, let's face it, the people of color, blacks, vote for Democrats. Democrats want them, need them. They're going to gin this up. That's part of the program. That's politics, unfortunately.
Talking with the state senator and 8th congressional district candidate for the Republican nomination, Frank Lissay. Also, Donald Trump did something either very interesting last night. He appealed directly to Bernie Sanders supporters, trying to win them over. And he said, I'm going to win them over because I agree with Bernie on trade. And Donald Trump's position has been described as protectionist, antithetical to what has been Republican philosophy on free trade. Where would Congressman Frank Lissay come down on the trade issue? Is he a typical conservative free trader of the last 50, 60 years? Or are you more in what Donald Trump has been talking about?
Well, and trade, I've talked to a number of people who are in that industry and do this. They are in the import-export, or they produce things for export, or they're getting parts that are coming in. And what I've been told over and over again is it's much easier to import things into the United States than it is to export. It's hard to export to China, but easy to import from China. I think there should be a level playing field in that. It should be just as easy to export into other countries as it is to import from those countries. And that's what I hear in Trump talking about this, is I believe in trade. I believe in free trade. It doesn't take multi-thousands to create a Pacific trade agreement and create an external court and all this bureaucracy. Free trade's fairly easy. Hey, you know, we aren't going to add tariffs. We aren't going to add barriers. We're going to bring the barriers down and move forward. So I like the idea, and I think it is important that we go back and take a look at NAFTA. I don't trust this president, Obama, and his administration to do anything really in the Americans' best interest and the American workers' best interest. And that's the TPP. I hope we put this off. And then the next president, and if it's Hillary, it'll probably be the same as Obama, but if we have Trump to go back and renegotiate and really take a new look at these things. So in many ways, I agree with Trump. I don't hear him as a anti-free trade. I hear him more as a fair trade between our nations. And I think that we have tipped the scales to the benefit of other countries over Americans. And that's the other part of what he's talking about, America first. And I think we should put our own interest first. We should be sensitive to others, but put our own interest first.
He's described NAFTA as a disaster. Do you agree for the United States? Do you agree with that assessment?
I don't know if it's a disaster, but I don't think it's good for the regular American worker, has been over the last, you know, two decades. I don't think it's been to the American worker's best interest. And we also have a tax code that's not to the American worker's best interest. And those all need reform. And I think we'll have more likely reform with a President Trump, as, you know, people say, what will you do in Congress with, you know, with Hillary, or how will it be different? With Hillary, I think we'll get more of the same. With Trump, we'll negotiate. Everything will be a negotiation. But we'll negotiate, and I think he does believe in America first, the American worker first, because we need American workers to, you know, take care of our families and get ahead as regular people. But as to make the economy turn, Henry Ford, when he was building the Ford Motor Company, gave people time off, paid them well, and they bought his vehicles. So it all turns in the economy, and it's healthy, and that's good, and it's good for the individual, and it's good for our economy. And I think he sees that.
Talking with congressional candidate Frank Lissay, Donald Trump last night spent a lot of time on ISIS, the war on terror, and married that with immigration. And actually, he came and went. He would talk about immigration, talk about another topic, talk about immigration again. In term, as you know, a very controversial proposal on his part, where he at one time suggested, actually said, a ban on all Muslims coming into the countries. He's toned that down now to certain countries that clearly have been compromised by Islamic terrorism until we come up with a better vetting process. What is your general philosophy on fighting ISIS and Islamic terrorism, radical Islamic terrorism?
Well, we need to fight them, but ISIS, what I don't understand, and ISIS is on the retreat right now, and we are making some gains with them, with our partners in Iraq. But I think the real reason that is in a few short months, the Russians in Syria, we didn't allow them to fly into Iraq, but in Syria, they blew up the oil wells that ISIS controls. ISIS pumps oil, they put it in tankers, and they drive it to the Turkish border, and they sell it in Turkey at $10 to $15 a barrel under market, and they supply themselves with a million. It used to be $1 million a day. Now it's cut down because the Russians blew up the wells. And, you know, NATO, Turkey is a NATO partner. Turkey is a country that we have a relationship with, and why this oil passes through that country is beyond me, because if we dried up the supply of money to ISIS, they wouldn't be able to pay soldiers and they wouldn't be able to buy arms. And all their arms are imported. They aren't producing their own arms in that country either. And this is a desert country and we have very great technology, so we can see where the stuff is coming from. And you cut off their supply of money and you cut off their supply of arms, they start to dry up. That's the time to sweep them up, my opinion. I think we have to fight radical Islam around the world. It is a problem. They are after us. They aren't going away. And then the other thing you brought up, the bringing these refugees, Muslim or non-Muslim, I don't think we should bring any more refugees to America at all, period, until we balance our budget. We're spending $600 billion more. Now, put America first. I agree with that. And he talks about this around, Trump does. But until we balance our budget and stop spending more than we're taking in, we shouldn't bring refugees from any country here that we pay for. It's $20,000 to $30,000 to relocate them here. Factually, 8 out of 10 or more are still on welfare 10 years later. So we bring them in here and we pay for them forever or for many years, and we bring more and more in. We can't afford that anymore. So I wouldn't address whether they're Muslim or not Muslim. I don't think we should be taking them from anywhere. And if there are organizations out there that can afford to support them, well, sure, then let's bring them in, but let's have somebody else pay for them, not the American taxpayer.
You mentioned Turkey as a NATO partner. Obviously, there was a failed coup attempt there. What's your assessment of that, particularly with the president of Turkey getting his support, really, from almost putting it as a religious war, called people to mosques, and there's the concern that he is drifting toward an authoritarian. The comparison has been made to this is Turkey's Iran 1979 moment. So what is your assessment of Turkey as a NATO ally at this point?
It does appear that they are drifting in the wrong direction towards the Islamic type of monotheism. It's hard for Americans to wrap our head around because we have a division of the church and state. But most Muslim-majority countries, and Turkey is a Muslim-majority country, they have Sharia law. The vast majority of the 50 or so Muslim-majority countries in the world have Sharia law, and they're drifting in that direction. That's very disturbing, and that's a real problem. And you're right. He used the mosques. He used religion. He used the regular people, and they are drifting in that direction, and that is very anti-Western, and we need to keep an eye on that, and it's a problem. And it also begs the question, why is all of this illegal oil from ISIS coming through Turkey? Why haven't they put a stop to it? And why haven't we put a stop to it through them?
Mr. Trump this week took criticism for comments that he made about some NATO partners saying they don't contribute their financial fair share. Therefore, the United States should look at not, protecting them and that is they are under the NATO agreement where they attacked or whatever. An attack on one NATO country is an attack on all of NATO. That's the way the treaty works. It's one thing to negotiate in private, say, look, you're not paying enough. Critics said to do that in public send a horrible signal to Putin and others, gee, we're not going to protect them. What the United States isn't going to honor its NATO commitment if they don't get more money. Should he have said that in public? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think with it, Trump is a very smart negotiator. He didn't get to be successful and run multinational, multi-billion-dollar companies without being successful at negotiation. And he's putting it on the table. And I think we should put it on the table. We've far too long, my opinion, subsidized our European, Western European socialist countries that the left loves to emulate. We're carrying the load for them. We're paying for the bulk of NATO. They are not paying their fair share. That should be renegotiated. And I read an article on this, his interview on this, and very interesting reading. He's talking about, and it's absolutely right. Years ago, I read about international negotiations, and when Carter said, hey, we're never going to send troops to Africa, well, Russia and China said, well, heck, we can go to Africa and support nations there because we know the Americans are never coming. Now, what Trump has been saying is as Hillary said, we'll never leave. Well, if you never leave, why do I have to pay? I don't have to pay. You'll never kick me out. So Trump is putting on the table that we might withdraw, and that will bring them to the table, and they should pay their fair share. It's far too long for wealthy countries to be taking a free ride on the backs of the American citizens and backs of American taxpayers, particularly when we're spending $600 billion more than we're taking in and have a $19 trillion debt.
What do you say to those? There are two things. One, but don't you do that privately rather than signal that to Putin? And two, isn't the United States being the leader of the free world worth the investment?
being that we'll still be the leader of the free world. This is one of the assumptions is, if we don't do this and we aren't paying the bulk of NATO, that we aren't the leader of the free world. We're the leader of the free world. And we, in World War I and World War II, if it came to that, and I don't believe it will, but if it did, we could gear up and we can handle any of the adversaries that are out there in the world today. So we can lead. We don't have to pay for all of it unfairly. And we've been doing it for far too long. And I agree with Trump. We should go back to the negotiating table. And by talking about it and putting it out there in the public, you put them on notice. And, you know, the behind the scenes, well, they told me behind the scenes that we might cut back, or the Americans might lower their effort. But you know what? Put it out there in the public, I think, is very fine.
You don't see any concerns of the signal that sends to Vladimir Putin and other foes and any stability issues?
We have a NATO treaty. I think we'd honor the treaty. And I think more accurately what Trump said, and so far the left likes to spin everything he said, is that I guess there are, my understanding, and I don't know for a fact, but reading what he had talked about, is there are some NATO countries like Estonia and Lithuania and others that are not paying at all. So they're members of NATO and they aren't paying their bills. And the question was, what happens if Russia went there? And he says, if they're paying their bills, that's one thing. But if you're a non-paying member, well, we'll talk about it. And you know what? That, to me, signals, hey, pay your bill. Pay your bill. You want your protection? Pay your bill. It's like insurance. Are you buying? If you're not paying your insurance premium, do you have insurance? Well, no, you don't. If you're not paying your NATO premium, do you have NATO membership? Well, I'm not so sure. That's what Trump is saying. I think they should pay. I you know, if you have an agreement, pay it. And if they are paying, well, absolutely, we should honor our treaty. Absolutely, we should honor our treaty.
Talking with congressional candidate Frank Lissay, final question in the time that we have. The Republican Party platform has been heavily criticized, even by a fair number of Republicans, feeling it is unnecessarily in its platform anti-LGBTQ community. Last night, you had a CEO who's openly gay, who said he's proud to be gay, got a huge applause at the convention. Donald Trump went out of his way to say that he, as president, would do all he can to protect, brought up Orlando, to protect the LGBT community. What are your thoughts on the platform as it applies to LGBTQ community? Do you generally agree or disagree with it?
Well, I think that all Americans, whether you're straight, you're gay, you don't care about the other sex or the same sex, you know, I think all Americans should have the same protection under the law. They should be treated the same under the law wherever they work, wherever they go, wherever they do whatever they do. So that's what I believe. And our courts have said, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe in marriage, and a marriage between a man and a woman. The courts have said, well, now we have marriage between, you know, two men and two women. Okay, the courts have spoken. I mean, that we live in a country of laws. In the Constitution, that's another issue with Trump and Hillary Clinton is our Supreme Court and those appointments. But, you know, we are a nation of laws, and we have to accept those things and move forward. And I think all Americans should be treated fairly and the same under the law. And we should have same protections for everyone.
All right, State Senator, and in this case, of course, congressional candidate for the Republican nomination, Frank Lissay. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me on. And folks, thanks for listening. Have a fantastic day today.
All right, it's 8:58, and just coming up, a lot of stuff coming up. I did not get a chance to talk about Ted Cruz's speech. Completely overshadowed Mike Pence's speech, and we'll talk about that. Was it Trump's fault for letting him speak? Should he have known that the Cruz, the opportunist that he was, would do that? I want to spend a little more time talking about what I just spoke with Frank about, and that is PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel's speech, Proud to be Gay, and Trump talking about that as well. Dovetail that in with the NBA moving the All-Star game from North Carolina over the controversial transgender bathroom law. The PGA may do that. And speaking of golf, we haven't talked about this in a while. The controversial, although I don't think it should be, the controversial proposed golf course would be technically the fifth golf course that Kohler would build in Sheboygan County. I wasn't here yesterday, so couldn't talk about it. There was a public hearing Wednesday night discussing the environmental impact of a development that is going to bring millions and millions of dollars to Sheboygan County, a lot of it from outside the state of Wisconsin, namely Illinois. And yes, I do want to talk about the Packers pursuing hosting the NFL draft in 2019 and the seismic activity finally resulted in an earthquake. Rupert Murdoch has stepped in, taking over Fox News. Roger Ailes is out. Yeah, busy, busy, busy. Well, I miss a day. Earl, and you know how it is. Then there's just lots to talk about. And we will get to all of that. I was going to try to get Kim Strassel on for a second time. That did not work out. Speaking of busy, busy, busy. But she has a great piece in today's Wall Street Journal on the convention. And we'll talk about that as well. All of that coming up starting at 9:06. It's 9 o'clock.
News, talk, sports.